Well, time has come that we might hear the word of God, and I know our brother is well prepared for it, and I do ask and pray that you would be mindful in your prayers towards his behalf and for your own. So I'll give to you now our brother, Adam Yates.
Thank you, ladies. Glad to see everybody here tonight, that we've made the effort on this, the Lord's Day, to come, and I truly do have a message that I feel the Lord has prepared for me to give unto you tonight. I wasn't supposed to preach tonight. I switched with Andrew, and I'd been preparing my sermon for a couple weeks. But as I was preparing about midway through the week, I had about half of the sermon prepared, and I came to just a standstill, and I couldn't. As much as I prayed about it, as much as I studied, I had nothing. I couldn't put together the thoughts that were in my mind. And as it came closer and into last night, the Lord turned my direction around. So I have a different sermon than I was going to preach a week ago. But my brother Gordon preached my sermon that I was going to preach a week ago. And it's no coincidence. The Lord has a desire for us to hear things and people which he wants to present it. And the Lord worked with our brother. But the sermon that I have to bring forth tonight goes hand in hand with what our brother was preaching about. Let's start in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a couple verses there. We're going to read about Abram. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse number 1, says this: Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Before we say anything about that, let's quickly turn over into Genesis, the 17th chapter, as I build my case here. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1, says, And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. He goes on, but let's jump over to verse 22, where it goes on saying this, And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Just as a side note, in the verse prior, in verse number 5, the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham. Verse 22 says, He left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male of the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. Kind of gross. But we see that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, You know what? You're going to serve me. I'm going to be your God if you'll do what I ask. He said, I want you to separate yourself from the people of this world. And Abraham, desiring to serve the Lord at the ripe age of 99, took the steps to serve the Lord. As painful and as uncomfortable as that was. Genesis 22, starting in verse 1, says, And it came to pass that after these things God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt sacrifice upon one of the mountains which I shall tell of thee. In the chapters in between here, we see that because Abraham was diligent in serving the Lord blessed him with a son that he had not had through his wife Sarah. And then here in 22, he says, You know, you got to take him over and you got to sacrifice him. The Lord required something of Abraham. What did Abraham do? Let's go to verse 16, as we all know the story, Abraham took the boy, took him up into the mountain, made an altar, and prepared to sacrifice his son, as the Lord had said unto him. Actually, we'll go to verse 11. We'll go to verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. We continue on there. We see that Abraham saw that there was a ram caught in a thicket, and Abraham went and offered that for a sacrifice. And then in verse 16, or 15 rather, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Kind of gave you the short and condensed version of Abraham. And what I want to bring out here is this man is a shining example to us about how we should serve the Lord. You know, the Lord called out to Abraham and gave him an option. He said, you know, you can serve me. And I offer you this promise in exchange for serving me. And it wasn't easy, the things the Lord asked of Abraham. You know, we start with hurting himself, separating himself. Wow, that's tough. And the Lord blesses him, and then the Lord says, you know, give me your son. But Abraham desired to do what the Lord required of him. And I want us to think, are we given promises as great as Abraham? You know, I don't think that any of us here have been promised that the Lord will make us a great nation, but we have wonderful promises that are placed before us. The Lord has prepared from the beginning of time for us. And I want to know if, just like Abraham, are we willing to do what's required to attain these promises? My sermon tonight is called Walk the Walk. We've heard that saying, if you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. Is that if we're going to stand up and we're going to say that we are a servant of Christ, we need to learn how to walk the walk. It's not enough to just say it. And we're surrounded by people in this world who are willing to say it, but their life doesn't show it. Let's turn to John chapter 10. We'll read a few verses there. I think this is the only scripture of mine that Brother Gordon stole from me this morning. We'll start in the first verse. And this is Christ speaking. Says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is speaking of Christ. And we see that Christ came, and he led. He became that example for us, living that life that we're called to live. And you know, we realize this, but do we think about it? When we profess that we are Christians, when we profess that we are children of Christ, are we looking and are we noticing that Christ goes before us? He goes before us, and we're supposed to follow him. You know, just as the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, we should know the voice of the Lord. And we know that voice through scriptures, through listening to sermons, through prayer. That's how we hear the voice of the Lord. That's how we learn to follow him. You know, in 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verse 5, you don't have to turn to it. Christ says this, as he's here on this land, and he's speaking to the people, he says, Therefore, what manner of men ought ye to be? Verily, I say unto you, even as I am. You know, Christ called us to follow him and to be as he was. That's the only way. That's the only way that we can truly follow Christ, is if we act how he was. Let's build on this. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. Says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I want us to think over this first verse for a second, and this is a verse that often comes to my mind. I find myself convicted of this often. Am I walking worthy of the vocation where I am called? Vocation means a calling, a occupation, a charge. I think about that as a police officer. You all know I'm a police officer, and I can't do my job if I don't walk worthy of the vocation that I'm called. There is an expectation given me, you know, firstly by the public. You know, I'm expected to obey the laws that I desire to enforce. You know, I'm not supposed to lie. I'm not supposed to cheat. I'm supposed to be fair. I'm supposed to be there, be able to respond and to help. There's a choir given me by my department. I have policies that I have to follow by, and when you don't follow by those policies, you get a new one written about you. I've had those. There's expectations. There's expectations given me by the law. You know, when I finished up the academy, I raised my hand and I swore that I would uphold the laws of the state of Arizona. And, you know, if I don't follow these standards, I can't be a police officer. I have a few friends right now who didn't follow these standards and are in the process of not being police officers anymore. You know, because there is an expectation. And I want us to realize this, but I want us to think about it, that there is a standard to be a follower of Christ. Christ has placed forth a standard before us. He has given it through his servants and through his own voice. And there's a standard that we have to follow if we're truly going to be one of Christ's children. Let's take up in Ephesians 4 and let's start in verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And if it so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Real quick, I want to just put this back. You know, Apostle Paul's talking to the people in Ephesus, and he says, you know, you're not supposed to walk as other Gentiles walk. You're called with a vocation. Those of us who are here, we're called. Our vocation is to serve the Lord, and we are not to walk as other Gentiles walk, as the world walks. We're not to be a part of that. You know, brothers and sisters, I have this gnawing on me. And I think it's probably because it's true about me as much as anybody else's. I feel like we're just covered in the world. And I struggle with it. You know, last Sunday I stood up and I gave a testimony about when I was in Iowa for the week and how I was just bombarded with the world for a week. And I had no recourse. I just felt like I couldn't get away from it. And when I came home, I felt like I was just covered in the world. And I'm struggling with that. I feel like we struggle with that, especially, you know, I'm not in any other locals. I'm here. And I see it. I see it with our youth. I see it from our youngest to our oldest, that we're just covered in the world. You know, we're not supposed to walk as other Gentiles walk. It says, in the vanity of their mind. Let's continue. "Wherefore put away lying," verse 25, "wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, what comes out of our mouth? As a Christian trying to walk the walk, are we saying those things that are a strength unto those around us? A little later, I'm going to talk about respect. And I want us to think, are we respectful of those around us when we speak? And I'm not talking about saying dirty words or anything like that. I'm talking about, is our conversation uplifting to those around us? You know, is our first desire for the welfare of those around us? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we continue there in chapter 5, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, this is part of the standard that Christ has set up for us to be his follower. This is part of the expectation. Just like I'm a police officer, I have expectations as a servant of Christ, as a minister, as a baptized member, as one who desires to inherit the kingdom that the Lord's prepared for me. There's a standard that I have to follow. And I can't attain these things if I'm immersed in the world, walking as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. If we look at Abraham, Abraham obeyed. He separated himself. He did those difficult, hard things. And you know, it wasn't until later that he received the bulk of the blessings. The Lord tested him. The Lord had a standard for him. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, we'll keep going. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the world and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Talking about this standard of Christ, you know, are we coming here and being a Sunday Christian? I want us to think about that for a second. You know, we come here and we're given the words of the Lord. You know, I'm not speaking out of the things that I've learned or anything like that. You know, I'm not learned. I didn't go to seminary or anything like that. My understanding of the Scriptures is given to me of the Lord. And I'm given responsibility to give unto you those things which are important. And the Lord wants you to do and change. And I want to know, brothers and sisters, is are you going to be doers of the word? You know, we've had sermon after sermon after sermon of separating ourselves from the world, of reverencing the Lord in his holy day, of being respectful unto the Lord. Are we listening to that? Or are we like this man who looks at himself in a mirror and then turns around and forgets what he looks like? You know, there's a promise in there, and it says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, when we follow those things that the Lord has set before us, we're blessed in our deed. Look at Abraham. The Lord asked him to do a few things. Abraham did it. How blessed was he? You know, make a little jump here. I want us to think about, though, are we a doer of the word? When we're here, we're hearing the word spoken, are we following it? Are we going home and are we studying? How many have their scriptures with them here tonight? Who's following along with me? You know, are we a doer of the word? The Lord tells us that we should study the scriptures, learn the prophets. Are we that Sunday Christian? We come here and we sit down. We hope to hear a wonderful sermon, and yet we put no effort in ourselves. We sit here and we listen. Colossians 2, starting in verse 1. Paul writes to the people in Colossus. He says, For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance of the understanding. I think I'm going a little fast right there. Let me slow that down. That their hearts might be comforted. The Apostle Paul's writing to him, and he's saying, you know, listen, I want you guys to understand, this is what I'm hoping and I'm praying for you guys. Those who are members, who are desiring to hear the gospel, who are attempting and who are trying to walk that walk. He says, that your hearts be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That mystery is the gospel. In whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This is a theme that I'm going to go to time and time again. In this short sermon is that the Lord wants us to walk just like Christ did. You know, that's the only way that we can truly be as Abraham and receive those wonderful blessings that the Lord has prepared for us. You know, but if we walk in Christ, there's things that we can't accept. There's things that we can't allow in our life and we can't accept to be around it. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's going to expound on this. Some of these things that a follower of Christ can't accept. And if we accept these things, we're not walking as we've received Christ. In verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man nor who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, this is what's in the world, brothers and sisters. And if we don't see that as we're out there day by day and working and seeing that we are surrounded by these things that I just read, and I'm not going to go and define them all, you know, you can do that on your own. It's important that you do that on your own and see, you know, the people I'm hanging out with, are they doing these things? You know, it says, let not these things be named once among you as become as saints. And in verse 8, it says this, that you were sometimes darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord and walk as children of the light. You know, no one's been forced to come here. There's not a person here who someone put a gun to their head and said, you know what, you're going to follow Christ and you are going to be baptized and you are going to endure to the end. No. No, we've chosen to be here. And we've chosen to profess that we are children of Christ. If we're going to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. And if we look in our lives and any of those things are in there, or we're surrounding ourselves with any of those things, brothers and sisters, we are not walking as Christ wants us to walk. You know, if we look at Christ's example, he saw that giving attendance to the things that will lead to eternal life are what are most important. There was never a time when it wasn't the right time for Christ to teach. There wasn't ever a time when it wasn't the right time for Christ to strengthen the people around him. And I've just got two scriptures real quick just to show this. And this is how we have to walk. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. And this is right after John the Baptist was killed by King Herod. And the disciples came back, and they told Jesus about this. And in verse 30, it says this, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. In the verse above that in 29, it, says that the disciples told Christ that John was killed. They gathered themselves together and told him all things, what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew them, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them all things. Here is Christ and his apostles, who had been laboring, and it says they didn't even have enough time to sit down and eat. And yet Christ saw the great need of his people, and that even without these things, without these physical things, eating and sleeping and resting, you know, there was something that was more important, and they needed to be taught. They were sheep without having a shepherd. How are we doing that in our life? Are we too busy? Are we looking at the example that Christ has shown, is that there is never a time when it's not acceptable to be teaching those spiritual things and to be immersed in those spiritual things. Just two chapters over in chapter 8, we find a similar time where Christ is teaching the people. And in chapter 1 of verse 8, it says, and in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came very far. We go on, we see that Christ feeds 4,000 of them with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes. You know, but here we were again, the disciples in Christ, not having anything to eat for 3 days, preaching to the people. And, you know, it was important. It was important that they saw to their needs. If we follow Christ's example, there is never a wrong time. Let me say that again. Following Christ's example, it's always the right time to see to the needs, the spiritual needs of those around us, and especially to ours. I feel like as a church right now, we have an issue with respect for the Lord. And having bounced this thought off of several of my brothers, I know it's not only me. But the Lord has told me that I need to speak about this tonight, and so I'm going to for a few moments here. Random House Dictionary says respect is esteem for or a sense of the worth or excellence of a person, a personal quality or ability, or something considered as a manifestation of a personal quality or ability. Respect is esteem for or a sense of worth of a person. I want to know, are we showing respect for the Lord? Esteem for, a sense of worth for the quality or for the excellence of the Lord. You know, if we look at Christ, Christ had it. He reverenced his Father in all things. He showed to those who were around him that he reverenced his Father in all things. Are we showing respect for the Lord? Are we showing respect for others? You know, a sense of worth for those around us. You know, and I ask that because I'm not talking about how we, you know, maybe how we speak to each other, are we speaking respectfully, but in our actions and the things that we do, are we being respectful of those around us? You know, are we realizing that there are those around us who are watching and who are learning? That's not just the kids. That's those who are around us. You know, are we showing respect for those around us when we walk in late to church? Are we showing respect for those around us, and especially respect for Christ, for God, when we don't come to church? Have we forgotten that we're commanded to meet together often, and yet I see time and time again that our numbers dwindle. Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Are we showing respect for the Lord? Christ did. Christ reverenced his Father. Are we doing that? Are we doing that by following what he asked us to do? You know, brothers and sisters, our song services lack effort. They lack participation. They lack attendance. You know, are we respecting the Lord? I think we aren't. I think we aren't. And I'll debate that with anybody. And we have need to. because the Lord has a great purpose for us. You know, our brother Andy last week talked about how this world, because of the situation in this world and the economy and that sort of thing, that there are going to be people in this world who are going to be searching. Are they going to come in here and find a disrespectful group of people who can't even open their books to sing? Are they going to find a group of people who talk through prayers? Are they going to find a group of people who walk out at the beginning of seasons of prayers and are visiting in the back? You know, I see these things. It's disrespectful to the Lord. Christ reverences Father in all things. You know, if we're going to talk the talk and we're going to say that we are servants of Christ, we must walk the walk. And I can hear it right now. I can hear people saying, you know what, Adam, you don't understand. You know, you have no right to say these things. You know, you're being self-righteous. Am I? One day the Lord's going to return. How are we going to justify these things? How are we going to justify it to the Lord? Let's see what Christ has to say about these things. 3 Nephi, chapter 8. Page 652. Two verses I'm going to read here, 53 and 55, says this. This is Christ speaking. He says, "And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together. But suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not." Verse 55, "Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." 3 Nephi chapter 12. Page 674, verses 34 and 35. "Verily I say unto you," once again Christ speaking, "verily I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall you do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day." Christ wasn't late. We read in the Bible where Christ sang hymns. We know that Christ, you know, he wasn't ever too busy. Hunger, thirst, you know, he was tired. Didn't matter. We see even on the cross, as he's hanging there, he asked the Lord to forgive those around him. You know, are we walking the walk? Are we showing respect for the Lord? I hope that weighs heavy on you, and I hope when you leave here you think, man, Adam sure gave us a tongue lashing. Brothers and sisters, we need to respect the Lord. We need to respect this house and the Sabbath day. The Lord is not pleased at our disrespect for him. We have chosen to be here. If you choose to be here, respect the Lord. Luke chapter 9. It's another part of the standard of Christ. This is another part of the standard to claim Christ. Starting in verse 23, and we're going to jump after we read verse 23, it says, this is Christ speaking unto his disciples, says, "And he saith unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Let's just skip real quick over to verse 57. And it says, "And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Say it again, we have to walk the walk. We've chosen to be here. I want to challenge you right now. I want to challenge you as my brothers and sisters, and this is my challenge as well, that we take a week in this next week And we look at the time that we spend at home, maybe reading a book or watching TV or listening to the radio, working out, whatever it is that you do, and take half of that time and pray and study. Spend some time. Spend some time doing what the Lord has asked us to, praying and studying. Start removing those things from our lives that are displeasing to the Lord. So that when we say that we are Christians, and that we are followers of Christ, that we're not lying, that we're doing the things that He's asked us to. You know, if we read in the Scriptures, we can see, I didn't write them down, and I should have, where Christ commands us that we should study the Scriptures, study the prophets. Many times the Lord talks about praying. We need to spend some time doing that, brothers and sisters. I want us to just think for a second, you know, if we're having struggles in our lives, are we walking the walk? Our brother this morning talked about the Lord's chastisement. I would ask you all to read the 12th chapter of Hebrews. The Lord speaks about that. And that, you know, if we're having struggles right now, perhaps the Lord is trying to get us to remove some things so that we can truly walk as He wants us to walk. You know, do you have questions and things in your life that require more than you can do? Are we walking the walk? Are we seeking the Lord? Because if we're doing as the Lord asks us to, those things will be given to us. You know, our Father in heaven should look upon us and be pleased. You know, how often have we been at, I don't know if any of you have been to high school sporting events or anything like that, but you know, you see proud parents in the stands, you know, and they're proud of their child. Man, look what my son did. And I want us to think, you know, are we living in a manner that Christ would say, that God would say, you know what, that's my son. Look how he did that. Look how he handled that. Brothers and sisters, we have to give diligence to serving God. Give diligence to attending to His word. This must be important to us. You know, because we're proclaiming and professing to be Christians, to be followers of Christ, we must do this. Luke chapter 12, 3 verses here in Luke chapter 12, and I'm almost finished. Luke chapter 12 says this in verse 31. It says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This brings us right back around to our example to Abraham. Just as Abraham was called out to by the Lord, and the Lord gave him a promise, said, "Abraham, if you follow me, you know, you will be the father of my people." You know, here we are. The Lord wants to give us the kingdom. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us all these things. And yet there's a standard that the Lord has placed before us. Are we living up to that standard? Are we willing to walk this walk and do what's required of us to attain the promises of the Lord? Brothers and sisters, I hope we are. I hope we're willing to. I hope some things I've said tonight, you know, this is my third sermon, and I feel like for 3 sermons I've kind of been pounding on these things, and you know, I don't want to be that guy. But you know, as I study and I pray, the Lord shows me things in my life that I need to change and tells me that I need to let you know these things as well. And so as we're here tonight, as we're professing to be servants of Christ, as we're talking the talk, brothers and sisters, let's walk the walk. Let's attain those same promises that Abraham did when he was willing to serve the Lord no matter what. Thank you, brothers.